Good morning and welcome to Step Into the Light. We're your hosts. I'm Patty Sheen.
And I'm Jean Alfieri. Thank you for listening.
Together, we will introduce you to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light.
And those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning and welcome to the show. Leanne Clifton and her husband Bill call South Carolina home. After meeting in a chemical engineering program at the University of South Carolina, they married and settled in Aiken. They have two grown children and a son-in-law. Her most recent book, All Your Heart, was published in March of this year. Before that, Leanne wrote The Little Vessel, a modern-day parable that reminds us that God has a unique purpose for our lives. Like her main character, Leanne loves to upcycle old junk into one-of-a-kind pieces. She shares her thoughts on Christian living, easy DIY projects, and the latest book news on her blog. Welcome, Leanne.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, ladies.
Good morning, Leanne. This is Patty, and I'd like to welcome you as well. And I would also like to kick us off with the very first question for today.
Okay.
You've had a rather untraditional writing journey. When did you start writing, and what prompted?
So I've always been a big reader. I've loved reading fiction, and my mom was an English teacher growing up, and in my career as an environmental engineer, I did a lot of technical writing and technical editing, so the writing part was always part of my background. But when I was teaching a girls' Sunday school class many years ago, it's probably been almost 15 years ago, I was asking them about their plans for the upcoming weeks, and they were telling me about their social plans and their academic endeavors and stuff. But one girl told me that she didn't have anything really special upcoming because she said, I'm not talented, I'm not smart. And my heart just broke for her because she was so discarded feeling. She just, that was the vibe that she was giving off. But I understood it too. I felt where she was coming from. So I wanted her and everybody else to remember that God has a plan for their life. And so that's when the little vessel was kind of born into my brain.
That's so neat.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm curious, Leanne, did she ever receive a copy of the book, that little girl who inspired it?
So she soon after she left the Sunday school class, I did read it to the Sunday school class a couple years later. I stayed on as their Sunday school teacher, but she was no longer there. So that was kind of a heartbreak, but I did get to pass the message along to the other girls in the class.
Nice. You spoke in a recent blog about how much you doubted whether you could complete the book, then you doubted that it would be published, even as you're holding the acceptance letter from the publishing company. Walk us through that and what you learned from that experience.
Yeah, so when I published The Little Vessel, that's when the belief that I could actually write a novel kind of burst in my soul. God had given me a story several years before that. So I started writing my novel. And so once I had finished it, I started querying it to agents and editors and stuff. And I got so many rejections. And, you know, anybody that's ever written, they know rejection is part of the process. And I tried not to take it as a personal statement on my worth. But, you know, when you get rejected, that's just hard. It's hard to hear. And so I tried to use those criticisms to make the book better, to improve it, to polish it. And so finally, one day last summer, I got an offer. And when it came, I was just shocked. And I doubted. I doubted that God had worked this. To me, it was a miracle in my life. And, you know, after all these years of praying about this book and writing it, and even writing about God's sovereignty and perfect will, which is what All Your Heart is about, I was the one who was doubting that the God that I had written about had actually been able to do that in my life. So yeah, that's kind of where I went with All Your Heart and how the process that I had taken with it.
Thank you for sharing that. Leanne, you know, the situation I'm in right now was a little different in that I pitched my manuscript and they're like, send it, we want it. But I'm in that period of doubt, like, oh, gee, what if it's not as good as they think it is?
Yeah. And
so I go over it again and again. And, well, I'm really kind of frustrated right now because I've been told that I need to cut probably 15,000 to 20,000 words.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I mean, I just have that feeling of doubt, like, oh, man, can I do this? Is this going to sound all choppy after I finish doing it? And I'm just into so much doubt now, and the bad thing about that is that I'm doubting so much that I'm not even working on it and making the effort. You know what I mean?
I do. Yes, you can become paralyzed with fear, but and I totally get that. And it's the enemy is so hard at work to stop God's people from doing His business. You know, and it's just I feel you. I do.
Well, and I appreciate that message too, Leanne, because, I mean, in some cases it's fear. I'll tell you, in my case, it's just pure stubbornness. You know, I get feedback and I don't like it, and so I shove it into a drawer, and it will have to sit there a little while before I really will warm up to, hey, that's not a bad idea. Hey, if I shifted and changed it, just, you know, it's just amazing what goes on in your head and how difficult it is to get around that when it's you know, a piece of, quote unquote, your work. And yet it would never be good if you didn't take all that feedback and do something with it and diligently pursue it for how many years, Leanne, was it for you?
Oh man. So the little vessel was over 12 years and then All Your Heart was probably 4 or 5. So yeah, we can be our own worst enemies at times.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
Most definitely. And by the way, shameless promotion here. Jean mentioned that Leanne had been on a recent blog that was my blog.
Yeah,
so
and I want to thank you for that,
Thank you,
Leanne, for being a guest and Patty for offering that, because I was absolutely smitten with that post. I thought it was fantastic, which is why I wanted to reach out to you. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
So I just wanted folks to be aware that if they go to pattysheen.com, to the Over 50 Writer blog, they will find Leanne's post. So like I say, shameless promotion here for both of us, huh, Leanne?
That's right. And here's the thing. That's what that whole post was about, because I'm no spring chicken. I am on the backside of 50. It's not something, God doesn't have plans just for the young. He's got things for us to do throughout our entire lives.
Oh, honey, you are spring chicken, because I just celebrated the big 7 the other day.
No, I don't feel like a spring chicken when I roll out of bed.
But, you know, speaking of that, I'll just tell a quick story here. I have a great uncle, he's long since passed away, but he was a farmer. And long story short, they sold their farm. They kept their property across the street. 17 acres, built a brand new home. And right after they moved into that home, had a cerebral hemorrhage, and it left him totally deaf and partially paralyzed. So, I mean, any idea of doing any kind of farming was completely out the window. Well, I had another great uncle who was into power tools, and little by little, he introduced this uncle of mine to power tools. Now, mind you, he's like in his late 70s, going into his 80s by now. He got so involved in the use of power tools that he developed this huge workshop in his basement. He started making furniture. He would make like kitchen benches and those three-legged stools, milking stools and all this kind of stuff. He was in Connecticut. He had people from all over New England buying furniture from him. And like I say, he'd never touched a power tool in his life up until then. And he was like, you know, close to 80 when he started getting involved in that. So you never know.
Wow. No, you don't ever know. That's incredible.
You don't. Yeah, God always has something in store for us, some great adventure.
Yeah. Patty, before you go into the next question, I just want to add that the title of Leanne's blog post is Serving Him in All Seasons. I just looked it up. So if anyone's going out there to check it out, it's titled Serving Him in All Seasons.
Definitely, yep. Yes, and it was a great post. And thank you again for that, Leanne.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
So your professional career was in chemical engineering. Wow, that sounds fascinating. So entering the writing and publishing world was almost, I would think, like tackling a foreign language. Mm-hmm. You navigated through the basics of writing and editing, then on pitching your book, followed by marketing and platform building, and all these things must have been monumental for you. What was the most challenging new skill for you, and what was the most effective tool you found to help you acquire the knowledge you needed?
So I think the most challenging was the one that I was always facing at the time. So like if I was in the midst of writing the book, then learning the craft of writing, continually honing that skill was the most challenging. And then it was learning to take feedback. And then it was learning how to query. And then once the book was published, it's learning how to do marketing and build your platform. It's like you said, none of it is second nature to me. I didn't get any, you know, formal training in this. So it's kind of on the fly learning. But one thing that has been really helpful to me, and I know people, you know, are so down on social media these days, but on Facebook, you can join Facebook groups where you can hone the other people that you're in there with. So like I joined groups for Christian writers and for Christian bloggers. And, you know, it really helps to surround yourself with people that have the same mindset and goals that you do. So that was really, really helpful for me. They mentioned that building your email list is why it's so important. And, you know, because it's yours, you're not subject to the rules of, you know, these social media platforms, and they can, because those can change daily. And so
all of the algorithms, and my understanding is especially Facebook, is it does nothing to broaden your exposure to even the people who follow you. It actually limits your capacity to get information out. So it is becoming less and less a tool of choice when it comes to any kind of messaging or advertising, unless you pay for it. And that's by design. That's why they're doing it.
So email list building has been one of my really big pushes lately.
And that's for good reason. I mean, as you said, you know your audience then too and what they want. Mm-hmm. So for people who are listening to this and to take from this backstory about your battle with doubt and how you overcame it through faith, is there a message here that those considering a change in career or vacation can take away, Leanne? Because it may not simply be from, you know, a chemical engineering background to an author, which is a drastic change. It may be a more subtle change, or it may be even more drastic. But what should people consider when they want to just switch careers midstream, if you will?
I honestly, this time last year, I would have told you that I would be the last person ever talking about this, because this time last year, I had no intentions of, you know, being in this position. And I even tried to talk myself out of it. I would tell myself, you know, this is not what you know. This is not what, you know, you read fiction books, you don't write them. But I would just say that we have to be open to what God is leading us to do. I mean, I felt this call so, like, almost audibly on my life to write this story down, to say these words, because somebody needs to hear it. It's kind of like, you know, what we were talking about before we went on air. Somebody needs to hear this. And so, yeah, it wasn't my choice. When I would talk about, you know, my encore career after I retired, it would be flipping furniture. But then this came along, and the desire to write this story down grew in my heart, and these people lived in my brain and would do things. And I know that sounds absolutely crazy, but it's true. It's like I have these pretend friends that just live up there, and they'll do things, and I just need to write it down. So, yeah, that would be my recommendation, is to follow God's lead. Just pray for his guidance into what he wants to accomplish in your life and with your life. How can you lay that on the altar for him and say, do with it what you want to do?
That's fantastic. Yeah, thank you. And let me ask you, Leanne, do you continue to struggle with the doubt? Does it sometimes creep up and sneak up and have you, or have you fully be able to put it behind you?
Oh, wow. No, I hope that I'm not the only person that struggles with doubt on a daily basis. But again, I think that doubt is the enemy. He's trying to, you know, pull us away from what God really wants us to do. He sows those seeds of doubt in our heart. And I do. I struggle with that all the time. I mean, it can be something really subtle, like, you know, just a simple comment from someone or a TV commercial that I misconstrue the wrong way and think, oh, well, if that person's doing that, then I can't do this, you know. I mean, but it's enough to make me doubt my worth and my purpose and everything against what God tells us we should do. So that's why I really, really find it important for daily prayer to make sure that I'm staying in His will. And because, you know, one day He may call me away from this, but until then, I want to be obedient to what He's called me to do. So, yeah, doubt is a constant, I think.
Yeah.
And it's so easy also, I think, sometimes, Leanne, to make excuses. Like me, I really feel like I need to finish the manuscript. But then something else comes up in my day where somebody says, oh, you know, can you take me here? And yeah, that's going to take a couple of hours out of my day. Yeah, I can do that. And you're putting the writing on the back burner. And then you get home and it's like, oh, man, I really need to do this before this happens. And yep, well, the writing will have to wait until tomorrow and next week and next month. And, you know, and I think that's another technique, if you will, I think, of the evil one, that busyness.
Absolutely. I mean, he can, our thoughts can be distracted, our actions can be distracted, and yeah, it just takes a lot of saying no to the enemy and yes to the Lord to fulfill those purposes that He has for us.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, at this point, we're going to take a short break, and this is where I remind listeners that we are listening to Step Into the Light with host Jean Alfieri and Patty Sheen. Our guest today is Leanne Clifton. Leanne is an author. She has written a novel entitled All Your Heart, which just released recently, and she also wrote a book called The Little Vessel, which was a modern-day parable that reminds us that God has a unique purpose for our lives. We've been talking about Leanne's writing career, and it's very interesting that she did not start out as a writer. She had a professional career as a chemical engineer, so switching gears for her was a huge change in her life, and we've talked about that. So we'll be talking a little bit more about her writing and some other things as we progress through the show. In the meantime, if you'd like to listen to the show again or you'd like to refer friends and family, which of course we hope you will, to the show, you can go to my website, which is pattysheen.com. That is spelled P-A-T-T-I-S-H-E-N-E. All of our shows are archived. Go to the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page, and you will find a list of all the shows we have recorded to date. When you click on Leanne's show, you'll get her show, and then underneath that tab is a more information tab where you will find her social media and website information, so you can familiarize yourself a little more with what Leanne has to offer. So Leanne, you also pose a question to readers: how is God calling you? You offered some truths that God has shown you. Would you share those with our listeners?
Absolutely, because I think it's really important that we hang on to all those foundational promises that, you know, He's totally sovereign. And so I think the first thing is He puts us where He wants us, when He wants us there, and not a minute sooner. If I had tried to write, really pursue it, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, I don't think it would have been blessed of God. But Mike, right now, some people might be called to be a wife and mother or a teacher or a nurse or, you know, an engineer, whatever. But I think it's important that we don't let others condemn us for the path that God has us on at that moment. So that's one thing. Another is God doesn't waste any life experience that we have if we're willing to allow Him to use them. He can even use our pain for someone else's benefit, which I think we might be touching on a little later. And He can use our mistakes. I mean, we're sinful people and we're going to have mistakes. And he can use those as a life lesson for someone else. And then the final one is, you know, youth is a wonderful thing, but I think that wisdom and insight are the gifts that God gives us the more times that he allows us to, you know, ride around the sun, the more years that we have. It's just those experiences that we're able to synthesize into information, and wisdom becomes of that. And it doesn't come from books, and it doesn't come from reading. It's just life experiences and how we enable God to use them. So, yeah, I think those are three important truths that God poured into me.
And they're true at any age, Leanne, and that's mm-hmm. the beauty of it. I'll offer that what spoke most to me was wisdom. And, you know, it's been on the top of my mind, that word lately, because our son is in college. And we all, you know, we all have children at different ages and grandchildren and whatnot. And he's just been struggling lately. And I feel rather helpless because when he was a child, I had more influence, right? I could say things. I could do things. I could prepare a meal that he, you know, I mean, just the little things that moms do that you feel in your heart make things better. And I can't because he's not here, but I know he's struggling. And I found myself, because I would often pray for the wisdom to know how to lead him or guide him or offer something to him. But I haven't lately. And why would it change? Why would it make any difference that he's a little older and he's not here for me to need the wisdom to know what he needs from me as a parent? And so thank you for that, because it, you know, it once again shows up in my life that wisdom is important regardless of where you are, because everyone around you still needs you to bring that. And so that really touched me. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's so true. And I mean, I look at young moms these days that, you know, I've already been in the position where they are, you know, you have potty training kids, or you have kids that are about to start first grade or something. And it's trying, and it's traumatic. But then because my kids are grown too, and knowing what you have to deal with grown children, it's just as difficult, just as heart-wrenching as, you know, when you have a young child. It's a lot of energy and effort, but in a different manner, right? So,
right.
Yeah, that wisdom becomes very important the older they get.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, and I think it does. Yeah, I agree with you, Dean. It does get harder and harder. You know, my granddaughter is in school and college right now, and she's been home all summer, which has been great here in town. But when she goes back, she's got her own apartment with three other girls, and she's, hey guys, I'm not coming home next summer. And it's like, this is going to be the really cutting of the ties. I mean, there was enough when she went last August to school, but she was here every once in a while. And now it's like, hey, you know, I'm going to have a place of my own with my friends, and I'm probably not going to be coming back. And you just have that funny feeling of, wow, what if you, you know, really need us?
It's hard.
So, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Jean. It's very, when they have struggles and you think, I wish I could do something to help you, but I'm just too far away. So, yeah.
Yeah, yes, but prayer bridges every distance.
Oh, I love that, Jean. Yes, I'm going to write that down. Prayer bridges every distance. I love that. That's beautiful.
Thanks. So, Leanne, the premise of this show, the reason we have Step Into the Light is leading others out of darkness and back to light. Would you share with us a time when you journeyed from darkness back to light?
Sure. So, you know, I guess everybody has dark times in their lives. I mean, Jesus promised us that we'd have trouble, right? But my siblings and I were younger. We had some rough times at home. We had some very difficult situations, and I felt some really unhealthy and ungodly ways to get out of those situations. But then God sent my husband. That was over 35 years ago, and my whole outlook shifted when I saw his family dynamic. I saw that things could be different, and they showed me how to rely on God. And so fast forward several years into our marriage, and we experienced three miscarriages in the process of trying to start our family. So, you know, the pain just shifted from one arena to another. And that was something I had never, that kind of loss was something I had never experienced before. But I think God had timed it such in my life that I was in a reliant place on Him, you know. So I was able to deal with it, and to not only deal with it, but to also use that pain in the future to help other women who are experiencing similar situations. And so that's why I was talking about that God always uses our experiences and, you know, to be able to further His kingdom, to bring glory to Himself. And so now He's given me this unparalleled opportunity to tell others about Him and about His goodness and about His healing and about, you know, all of the wonderful promises that He's made, and, you know, just how good life is when we follow Him. It's not easy and it's not always fun, but we have His promises. And even I referenced my own wedding vows in my second novel, and because we promised each other that we would be there in sunshine and in shadows, in hopes fulfilled and dreams shattered. And so we've seen those. We've seen all of that in our marriage. And we do have two beautiful grown children now. And so God has, He's walked through us in the hopes fulfilled and the dreams shattered. So it's been amazing to see how He's brought us back into the light.
What beautiful vows.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh, they're just, oh, timeless, just absolutely wonderful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you mind if I ask you, Leon, you said you have two grown children, so you did go ahead and actually be able to biologically have two children of your own, or are they adopted children? I'm just curious.
No, we did. We were able to have them. We ended up having to undergo some, you know, a lot of medical testing and that kind of thing. Yes. And so, yeah, we were finally able to have two children. And let me just say, when you have, I know everybody loves their children. When children are not just assumed to be, you know, an automatic mm-hmm. thing, they are so precious, so extremely, you know, every life is just a gift from God. And you really realize that when you face the possibility of knowing that it might not happen for you. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Boy, that sure is a blessing that, you know, I mean, adopted children, of course, would have been just as precious, but still,
absolutely,
you know, for God to have healed you in such a way that you were able to actually have two children of your own is wonderful mm-hmm. after all that you went through. So, yeah, what mm-hmm. a blessing that is. So if I could, I'd like to ask you, how did your childhood influence the writing of your most recent book, All Your Heart? And if it didn't, what did inspire that book?
So growing up, I had people that were close to me that experienced some really horrible things, abusive situations and things like that. And I also would hear whispered stories in my family, you know, how when you're a little kid, people say things and they think you don't know or understand. But I heard stories of past deeds and indiscretions by some of the people in my family. And those things later, you know, caught in my brain, and I started thinking of weaving these things together. And I write about some topics that aren't talked about much, especially in Christian circles, but they do happen. And I think it's really important that we deal with them in godly ways so that everybody involved can heal and move on with God's plan for our lives. And so because of my situation with the miscarriages and stuff, I have some strongly pro-life views. And in the process, I just desire for people to know Jesus as their Lord. And so these are some truths that I really felt compelled to write into my stories. But the stories kind of, you know, those are the inspirational aspects of it. That's where I'm coming from. But, you know, I mentioned a minute ago that these stories kind of write themselves because these people kind of live in my brain. Y'all are writers. You know what I'm talking about. But but they show up at the most inopportune times, right? Like I'm in the shower, I'm driving my car, and, you know, it's not conducive to getting out a notepad. So I have to kind of remember what these people are doing in my head. And so my husband and I joke about it now, about, he's like, what are your pretend friends doing today? And, you know, so it's become kind of a running joke in our house about my pretend friends and what they're up to now.
That's good. And so having said that, without giving the story away, of course, could you tell us a bit more about the book itself, even if it's to read the back cover blurb, whatever would be easiest to describe to us what the story is about?
Sure. Yeah, I'll read you the back cover. So here it is. Alex is determined to use college on the other coast to escape her small southern town and workaholic mother. However, a prom night assault and the resulting pregnancy require a drastic change of plans. Alex flees with every intention of ending her cross-country trek at an abortion clinic. Instead, finding herself stranded and scared after wrecking her car, Miss Matilda welcomes Alex to town with love and open doors. It just so happens that Matilda runs a crisis pregnancy home. When Alex strikes a deal with Chad, the handsome mechanic with secrets of his own, the citizens of Burton discover Alex's artistry, prompting a business partnership with Matilda's nephew. Alex then discovers the life-altering sweetness of trusting Jesus, but her past hurts make it difficult to trust Chad with her heart. Then, secrets within the pages of an old diary discovered at the home threaten to tear families apart. Can the people of Burton learn to heal the hurts of the past by trusting the Lord with all their hearts?
Wow.
Powerful.
Yeah.
That sounds like a very powerful story, Leanne. You really tackle some issues there.
It does, and I'll tell you this, it has kind of a surprise twist at the end, which everybody that's read it, they'll text me or email me or Facebook message me, and they're like, I didn't even see that coming. So
that's the best part. You weave the story together and then added a twist. Outstanding.
Yeah, so that part, yeah. That's cool to hear people say, I didn't even see it.
And now, Leanne, who is your target reader for this? And who are you hoping to reach with it?
So I'd really like to reach women in the 20 to 45 year old range. One of the main characters, however, is a mature lady, Miss Matilda, and her wisdom and love for the Lord make her very relatable. A gentleman from England just reviewed the book, and he said in his review that Matilda was actually his favorite character. So, and she's older. She's in her late 60s or early 70s. So, you know, I do have a target audience, but I think that even more mature women will find something to relate to, especially in Miss Matilda and her wisdom and maturity.
Yeah.
Which in a way leads into our next question, which is one of the major underlying themes you identify is the sanctity of life, which in every generation is a controversial topic. And what is your position on it? And maybe not only in the sense of, before birth, Leanne, but what about older people? What is your feeling about, I can't even think of the name of what they call it now.
Euthanasia?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you know, what is your take on all of that philosophy?
So, yeah, and, you know, I guess this is another situation where I feel that God has lent me his wisdom by allowing me to, you know, study the Bible more carefully. But I do believe that every life is sacred to God. He created us in his image. And so no matter if we're a few cells old or a few breaths from leaving this earth, God has a purpose for our life. There's something he desires to accomplish from our life. I mean, it could be in our last breath that we lead someone to the Lord. We don't know. We don't know. And if we take the position of playing God, then we attempt to usurp his power, and nothing good can ever come of that. So, yeah, that's kind of the place where I came from when I wanted to write this book, because I do feel so strongly in my heart about protecting the unborn, protecting those who can't protect themselves, whether they're unborn or whether they're elderly, incapacitated, whatever. I mean, it's hard because I've watched friends and family members suffer in the last stages of diseases, and it's not easy, but trusting in God and his sovereignty, you know, you just have to believe that he's got us here every second for a purpose.
For a reason. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Save the Storks?
No, I have never heard of that.
I participated with Save the Storks 2 years ago at Glen Eyrie.
Oh, you did, Jean. Oh, my goodness. Well, the reason I bring that up, and Jean, you can relate to this. We've interviewed a couple of folks, Leanne, on a Christian radio station that is out of Colorado Springs, and they are linked up with Save the Storks, which is an organization. Well, Jean, you could probably tell us more about it.
It's the preservation of life, yeah, and it really is. It's really, at least the program that I attended, it was a concert at Glen Erie, was all run by millennials. It was the, you know, a very young generation that were wanting to get this message out, which is encouraging to me because I thought it would all be old people like me, but it wasn't. So it's really an interesting organization, and I can't say I know a lot about it. It was just that one event that I volunteered for, but it is very popular, and I know it's nationwide, but this part of the country, and we kind of lend ourselves to that anyway in the Springs. But I look into that, Leanne. I'm not sure if you've considered the very many venues that this book, I realize it's fiction, but still you have such a powerful message. I would think there are other places that could really utilize this. You know, I'm thinking about church groups and just, you know, things of that nature that it would be really beneficial to at least get exposure to.
Here in Aiken, we have an organization called Life Choices, and it's a pregnancy care center. And the executive director there had reviewed my book for me so that I could put it on my website, you know, when it first was published. But one of the things that the home in the book is named for, it's called Together for Good. But in a neighboring town from me, there's a similar home. And it does offer the same sort of service that you're talking about, the ultrasounds, to try to show these young mothers facing a crisis pregnancy that this is truly a little human that you're carrying within you. And it does make a huge difference. The book itself has study questions at the back of it where you can apply it. You can look at it like in relation to the book and in relation to the reader's own life. And so I tried to make it as interactive as possible so that people can start, you know, internalizing and synthesizing this thought process for themselves.
Yeah.
I think your book just sounds so compelling, Leanne, on this subject. So I wish you the very best with it, for sure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And what you have an advantage of too, Leanne, is that it's not a book that's going to be preachy, right? It's not going to be, hey, this is what you should do and this is what you shouldn't do. It's a story, and people relate to stories, and that you have questions attached to it too helps them apply it. It just seems like it should be doing a lot of stuff out there.
It does follow the main character. She has a crisis of conscience. You know, she struggles with the decision, and it's not a cut and dried decision for her. And so follows her, not only her physical journey through everything that she goes through and her move and everything, but it also follows her spiritual journey and those questions that she has arising in her mind. And so, it is all told through a story, and it's not just a, you know, kind of bombarding the reader with, you know, facts and stuff, but it's here's how she goes around and round to get here. It's not a straight path. It was hard decisions that she had to make.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's an easy decision for any woman. I don't know.
No.
I've never been in the position, but for most women, I think it is truly a physical and a spiritual struggle to make that decision.
I would think it would have to be, even if not at the time, I would think that in hindsight, it would be difficult to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the beauty of having our Savior Jesus Christ, because he came to help us deal with all of that. Yeah. Hallelujah for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Leanne, we have a few minutes left here, and I've been wanting to ask you all through the show, and this has nothing to do with your writing or anything else, but at the beginning when Jean introduced you, she talked about one of your favorite loves other than writing is to upcycle old junk into one-of-a-kind pieces. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I've never met a piece of junk I didn't like. I love
my house anytime.
The problem is I like it so much. I've got so many midway projects in my house. It's just crazy. I have finished a lot of projects, but I love to just pick stuff up off the side of the road or go to a secondhand store or a garage sale, get stuff for really cheap. And yes. And then upcycle them, either bring them back to life as they were originally intended, or combine stuff and make them into something totally reimagined that it had not been in its prior life. The reason that this kind of dovetails into my life is because even though my degree is in chemical engineering, I worked for 30-something years as an environmental engineer. And so I always was about, you know, reducing and reusing and recycling. And I didn't just do it as a job. I lived it. I, you know, rescued stuff from the dumpsters, and I rescued stuff from the landfills, and you know, made new and beautiful stuff out of it. And I just love that.
Wow. I don't know if you're familiar with, I'm a huge fan of old Westerns, and the actor Dennis Weaver,
mm-hmm.
he was big into recycling and all this, and he had a home that was made of all this stuff, like old tires and stuff. That just came to mind now, talking to you. I hadn't thought about that in years. But yeah, he had this fantastic home that was just made out of all this old recycled stuff.
Oh, that just...
I have a newspaper article about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that just makes my heart happy. I love that kind of stuff. Love it.
Well, and they talk about how efficient those homes are too, because you know you're using the rubber and it acts as an insulation, and it is really fascinating and sad when you consider what we don't do with all the junk that we could be doing. And so hats off to you, Leanne. I think that's really cool.
It's a lot of fun. It really is, and it gave me something to draw on for Alex's career. So yeah, you know, God doesn't waste anything.
A few miles from here, they call it Junk Rassic Park, J-U-N-K Rassic Park. And he had all kinds of different figures and stuff that he had in his yard for years that were just made out of old junk, you know, old pieces of metal and rubber and heaven knows what. It was like, wow, people used to go see it and thought it was pretty neat.
Yep, artistry. It's artistry.
Yeah. Yep. Leanne, did you have anything else you'd like to share with us that we didn't cover this morning?
I did want to let people know that my second book, the sequel to All Your Heart, because that's what, when people read the surprise ending, that's the first question they ask, but it will be released later on this year. So yeah, that's exciting.
It is exciting. Good for you. You've got to be busy with that then if it's coming out this year.
Yeah. The cover has been completed and the editing has been done. So now we're just in kind of those final stages. So I'm working on the third book now.
Excellent. Oh, that is awesome. Well, ladies, if there's nothing else, then I guess we'll go ahead and say goodbye. And thank you ever so much, Leanne, for spending time with us.
Thank you all so much for having me. I really do appreciate this.
Leanne, it was a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
And bless you for what you're doing with this.
Bless you too, and thank you.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. I'd like to remind you to go to pattysheen.com. That's pattysheen.com. There you will find links to today's show, to all of the shows that we have recorded to date, and also you will find website and social media information for our guests under the More Information tab.
Hope to have you with us next time. God bless.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a flame.